Live from Buffalo Creek. All right. We're going to dip into Psalm 119. The next time I teach Sunday school, which will be a couple of weeks, I should have a series that will start. But until then, you'll have to be satisfied with Psalm 119. So, turning your Bible to Psalm 119. I love Psalm 119. I like dipping in here from time to time when I'm in between series. And we got to verse 63. David said, I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. You know, that's good company to keep. People that love the Lord, that think upon His name and meditate upon the glory of God, the attributes of God, the personhood of God, the purpose of God, the works of God. He said, I am a companion. That's who I hang with. That's who my friends are. Of all those that fear thee, that have reverence for your name, that exalt you, obey you, love you, those are my people. Or in today's phrase, it would be my peeps. Those are my people. Those are the people I want to be around. I want to be influenced by them. And you can't have a better declaration than that. If you turn over to Malachi chapter 3, God says this kind of attitude and people are His jewels. They make up His jewels. Malachi 3, then they, verse 16, that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. These are my companions. These are the people I want to be around. I want to be influenced by those that fear the Lord. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. So this verse teaches us that David was very selective concerning those whom he would keep company with. He delighted in fellowshipping with those who feared the Lord and who kept God's precepts. Now, when you get right down to it, that's pretty slim pickings in the day and age in which we're living. You understand what I'm saying? Who fears the Lord? Who has respect unto His ways? Who abides in the secret place of the Most High in communion? Who delights in worship and exalting the name of the Lord? Who worships Him in spirit and in truth? Who loves His precepts and keeps them as they are written by way of obedience out of a heart of love? Who are those people? They're people that have been changed by the power of God. People who have been saved by the grace of God. Who have embraced the message that Christ died for their sins, that He was buried, that He rose from the dead. Those are the people that we are to have company with and hang around with and to have fellowship with. That's the positive side. Now, where can you find that? Well, You can find it in a congregation of people, of like-minded people that come together to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. You can find that in one body. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. You're part of one body. If you're a member of Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church, you are part of the body of Christ. The one body that meets in this location. Again, I say it that way because I don't believe in the spooky church. I don't believe in a universal, invisible, spooky, non-existent church. I believe in the churches of the New Testament with Jesus as their head that actually congregate, that actually send out missionaries, that actually keep the ordinances and practice Baptist baptism and observe the Lord's Supper. Those are real churches. Not some nebulous, non-existent thing that people would say is all the big church, the spooky church. I don't believe in that. It's not in the Bible. I mean, you look at the way the word church is used. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. So where can you find people that are saved, love the Lord, that want to influence you for good, who want to keep the commandments of God? Among the Lord's people. And ironically, we have it set up where you can come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, gather with the saints of God, sing the praises of God, pray with one another unto the Almighty, receive instruction from His Word. Boy, how convenient is that? Now, that's all the positive side of this. There's a negative side to this as well. Because what's implied here, if you look at the other side of this, he said he would be saying, I'm not a companion of those that hate you and disrespect you. Okay? That's the other side of what he's teaching here. And I am not a companion of those who hate your word and forsake your precepts. So he is stating the positive, but the Bible often does show the negative side of this as well, which is separation from the ungodly. Psalm 26, verse 4 and 5, David said, I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. So, in Psalm 26, he gave you the other side of what he's stating here in Psalm 119. We have to be careful, on the one hand, not to exhibit a holier-than-thou attitude, yet at the same time, we're not to touch the unclean thing. See, I don't ever mistreat people in the world. I don't hate them. I want to see them saved. As opportunity presents itself, I often say a word in season to them about sin, judgment to come, and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how I deal with the lost. We cannot, as believers, afford to adopt the attitudes, the lifestyle, the principles of a world system that is opposed to God. And that's what 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And he's not talking about the world as a globe. It's talking about a world system that is headed up by none other than the God of this world, little g, Satan. The same world that dwells in darkness, that hates God, that hates His Word, you can't adopt their ideals. And yet there's plenty of apostate churches that are embracing the ways of the world. I preached in West Virginia yesterday. Nathan Long said that in his very conservative community, that the churches, he called them, they call themselves affirming churches. They have set aside a Saturday in June. And June, by the way, you're going to be bombarded with the world saying it's Pride Month. Take pride in your homosexuality, your lesbianism, transgenderism, gay, queer. I mean, I'm not out of line. That's actually their letters, what they mean. Okay? Take pride in all that. But the Bible says, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. You shouldn't take pride in things that God deems wicked and sinful. And that's one reason why they hate people like me. I don't hate them. I love them. I want them to see that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But they got to repent of their sin, turn from it, and embrace Him. And yes, surrender their identity. Everybody, our world is worshiping identity. And it's idolatry. Well, you got to separate from that. Churches should never affirm that kind of perversity. What it is doing, it is normalizing deviancy. And that's just one area. There are several other things. Abortion. Can you believe that people are actually arguing? I heard somebody say that it's radical to believe that a woman should keep her baby. It's radical. It's radical to kill babies in the womb. It's insanity. But the world adopts these ideals mainly because they're contrary to God. I've always said, if you think that people really care at all about the LGBTQ community, they don't care. They just want to get rid of the Bible. They want to get rid of any vestige of Christianity. They see them as pawns in this thing to get people stirred up. And so they use it. I mean, think about this. 30 years ago, nobody even knew. There wasn't even a word for transgender. And now we're supposed to believe that it's science. I tell you what, a lot of the new science they're coming up with is crazy. You got to separate from it. And the Bible, man, it tells you all through. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Ephesians 5 says, we are not to be partakers with those who practice wickedness and darkness. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6. Again, I'm not doing anything out of hand. This is the Bible. Let no man deceive you with vain words, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Again, this is the other side of David's declaration, that he was going to be a companion of those who feared the Lord and who kept His statutes and His precepts. You read Psalm 96, all right? You know it's one of my favorite psalms. I call it the Mission Millennial Psalm. The mission will ultimately one day, God's purpose for this earth is going to be completely settled. And people from all over the world are going to worship Him in spirit and truth because of the message of declaring His glory among the heathen. James 4 says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is at enmity with God?" Again, these are all Bible. Psalm 1, everybody knows Psalm 1. Read Psalm 1. "Blessed is the man, happy is the man, joyful is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Right? That he's separated. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." He's saturated with the Word of God. And as a result, he's situated. Psalm chapter 1, and I always mess up verse 3 a little bit, so I'll have to read it. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Okay? That's the blessing. Separated, saturated, situated. And look what it says in verse 4, "The ungodly are not so." Complete contrast. And they're going to be judged as a result of that. Now, you see, saved and lost people don't make good companions because their natures are at odds. And I found this out. I remember when I was first saved. We had big plans. I was saved in November of 1980. Me and a couple other guys thought we were getting sick of living in our parents' homes, and we were going to get us a bachelor pad, you know, in 1981. We had big plans for it, and the Lord had other plans. He saved me in November of 1980. The change was so radical, the guys that I was supposed to move in with said, "Ross, we don't want nothing to do with you, man. You're going to ruin the whole thing. You can't move in with us." Because I was kind of nervous. What am I going to tell these guys? I didn't have to do anything except to preach the gospel to them. I just witnessed to them all the time, wherever I was, whenever I saw them. "I've been saved, man. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened. You guys need to repent of your wickedness and trust the Lord." Well, they didn't want to live with somebody like that. So I didn't have to go march up to them and say, "I'm going to separate from you." You know, I didn't have to be mean or nothing about it. All I had to do was be me. Just preach the gospel. You see, if you're living for the Lord, just that natural service to God and obedience to God, lost people aren't going to be hugging you. You know, and wanting to hang around you. Now, the Lord may save them, and that may change. But I will tell you this. If you hang out with the wicked, their ways will probably rub off on you more than your ways will rub off on them. It's just the way it is. Because you still have a nature that they have. They don't have a nature that you have, that new nature. Their worldly habits and conversation are easily picked up. So, love being with God's people. And I'll close with this quote from a Puritan, John Willison. He said, "Shun the company that shuns God, and keep the company that God keeps. Look on the society of the carnal or profane as infectious, but reckon serious praying persons the excellent ones of the earth. Such will serve to quicken you when dead and warm you when cold. Make the liveliest of God's people your greatest intimates, and see that their love and likeness to Christ be the great motive of your love to them, more than their love or likeness to you. Seek out people that's going to sharpen you spiritually and make you want to live for the Lord more." Say, "Now, preacher, it's 4 after 11. Yes, I know. We're dismissed.